community of voices that believes that everybody can sing, the Lehigh Valley Chorale is a non-auditioned community choir of nearly 175 members. Founded in 2016, the chorale performs a richly eclectic repertoire of music in many different languages and genres, from classical music to show tunes and everything in between. Dedicated to community engagement, you also hear them performing the national anthem at local games, singing at a Veterans Day ceremony, caroling at retirement homes. Their upcoming winter concert series entitled Crowded Table joyously celebrates the holiday season as the chorale prepares to celebrate their 10th anniversary in 2026 with some very special events. This is WDIY 88.1 Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm talking with Nicholas Shinkevich, conductor, music director, and artistic director with the Lehigh Valley Chorale. So welcome, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. We've been wanting to talk about the chorale for a while here on the show. In fact, for our listeners, a little background, the Lehigh Valley Chorale is at 10 years at this point. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the chorale and its founding?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, the chorale was founded back in 2016 by Ed Milicic, a longtime high school choral director at Easton Area High School. Ed was known in the community for his work with young people and decided to found a choir based on the principle that everyone can and should sing. And so now, almost 10 years into that legacy and that philosophy, LVC believes, and still does as a non-auditioned ensemble, that everyone can sing and should sing. And so we've leaned into that philosophy for all of our resources and concerts and members and all sorts of things like that. But it was founded by our founding artistic director, Ed Milicic.
Who was deeply involved in the music community here in the Valley, of course. But I'm also intrigued by the fact that, before we move on, at 175 members, which is quite a growth. I mean, it certainly wasn't that initially. You have a waiting list, don't you? I mean, this is so appealing to people.
100%. And as you mentioned, there are some times after the pandemic, right, where a lot of people were searching for senses of community and ways to be involved and things like that. I started with the organization in 2022. And at that time, we had about 90 members. In 2 years, in 2024, we reached 175 members.
Wow.
And now we have maintained that rough active amount of individuals, but have a wait list that is almost the same size as our membership at the moment. It's a really good problem to have, but at the same time, as you know, space and limitations and capacity of certain venues, we start to get too big for certain venues that we perform in. So yes, 175 members, almost the same amount on the wait list. It's a really special group.
It's really amazing. It's interesting. I was doing a little bit of digging around before the interview about just the nature of, again, the community chorale, community choirs, and what it offers for the participants as well as, obviously, for the audience. We get beautiful music and a really rich array of selections and composers. But for some of the joints, it's community, right? It's also physically rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of magical.
To sing
together as opposed to singing solo or singing in a very small group.
Yes, and my background, I went to undergrad and I received a degree in music, but I also received a degree in biochemistry.
Oh.
And my first article that was ever published was an article on the biochemical effects and the physiological effects of choral singing specifically, singing with other groups of people. And one of the things that we know at a kind of a scientific level, right, is that singing with other people is vulnerable. And we can do that in the shower by ourselves because that feels safe. But when we do that in front of other people, taking that risk, knowing that we're safe and then doing well or think we do well, allows us to connect with other people, releases oxytocin, releases good feelings, and builds connections and stability for people. So I think that the Lehigh Valley Chorale is a special place because we do some challenging repertoire. But my philosophy, as we said, is everyone can sing and that we show people how to get there and that they have the potential to do it. And so this is a group where it not only changes people musically, but really changes your life.
That's interesting because it's also really clear to me looking at the musical selections. Yes, Ambitious, diverse, eclectic, a really rich array of composers and musical styles. So it's not like this is being made simple at any level in any way that's not necessary. And also the community connection of the chorale, though, it's interesting. It forms its own community, but then you're also very involved with the community, with the valley.
Absolutely, and we've expanded that. As you mentioned, we've done things in the past with singing national anthem at certain games. We've also done some caroling and memory care centers and retirement centers. But one of the things that's really important to me is that with a community this large of people who believe in the betterment of humanity, you can have a lot of impact. And so in 2024, we had a concert at Miller Symphony Hall entitled Where Hope Is Found, and we partnered with over 10 different community organizations that focused on youth and mental health
Oh, wow.
for the concert itself. So they could table at the concert. We were able to develop proceeds, things like that. And as we'll talk about a little bit later, for this concert as well, Crowded Table, we partner with two organizations to benefit our community in a different way. So it's really important to me.
Let's talk a little bit about that. A Crowded Table. It's lovely. It's the winter concert series. It's coming up for our listeners to know. It will be at the First Presbyterian Church in Allentown on Friday, December 12th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, December 13th at 2 p.m. But could you tell us a little bit about what we'll be hearing, what you've selected, what shape this has taken? What's the concert itself going to be like?
Yeah, absolutely. The LVC concert and a Nick Sienkiewicz concert is not a typical choral concert. I have a background and a love for theater, and I have a background and a love for moving people, inspiring people. And so when I create a program, along with some fabulous people in the chorale, some of my members, I really think about the journey that a person takes during this and how they're going to feel by the end. And what that means for what they might do after the concert. Are they going to do something within their community? Are they going to be moved or changed in some way? So this concert has a lot of different repertoire, as you mentioned, and has everything from The Word Was God by Rosseffany Powell, which is a choral piece that's kind of taken on a new meaning nowadays because there was a controversy with the piece about 6 months ago in which the rights were kind of taken without permission. And so a lot of choral conductors actually programmed that piece. But everything from that to Dan Forest's Joy to the World, to Tread Softly by Geoffrey Vaughan, all the way to like Don't Save It All by Celine Dion, and obviously the centerpiece of the concert, as I like to say it, Crowded Table. That song specifically, written by members of the band The Highwomen, one of which includes Brandi Carlile, is a piece about inviting people in, inviting everyone to the table. The door is always open, your picture's on my wall, everyone's a little broken, and everyone belongs. And so it's not just a value of this song, but it's a value that we all live and share together. And I think that's a really important message, especially around the holiday season, when a lot of the stories and tales, whether sacred or secular, come from welcoming the stranger.
And I think too, the idea of chosen family at this time of year, that sense of coming together. Oh, that's lovely. As well as the vocal element, as well as voices, what we'll hear at the concert. You've also got guest instrumentalists. There's musicians working with the chorale, correct?
Yes, correct.
And I think the assistant conductor, Liz Olson, is the associate director of choral activities over at Lehigh University, and she'll be doing some guest conducting as part of the concert. But perhaps in really illuminating that crowded table theme, if we could talk a little bit about there is a food drive being conducted as part of the crowded table concerts. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So, as I mentioned, community engagement and benefit is something that's really important to me. I love music, and I think that music is a tool and a way to inspire people in order to engage with community action, right? And so, as part of this concert back in October, I reached out to New Bethany, New Bethany's Choice Food Pantry, and asked if we could do some sort of food drive and facilitated with one of our current board members who also has an association with New Bethany. And so at the concerts, we are asking both our singers, but also people that are attending the concerts to bring some food items and essential items as outlined by New Bethany's guidelines, both on our website and on New Bethany's website. It's important to me to not only attend the concert, support these wonderful people, support community music and nonprofits, but also for us to be able to make an impact and for people to see a manifestation of what that impact can look like. Because 500 people attending a concert bringing one food item benefits so many individuals. And the thing I'll add to that is that we had this planned and we could not have anticipated the uncertainty surrounding SNAP benefits at the beginning of November. And all of a sudden it took on a new meaning. So our board of directors, along with many of our singers, decided to organize a donation drive for Second Harvest Food Bank in Easton. So along with doing this food drive at the concerts, we also raised $2,700 that we then gave directly to Second Harvest Food Bank in Easton to benefit people that needed it the most at this time, because we think that's really important.
That's incredible. That's just, I mean, that's really community in action. I congratulate you all. And again, in keeping with that idea of the crowded table, the chosen family, the coming together, feeding each other and making a difference, a real difference. I would encourage our listeners again, the website is
lvcorral.org.
That's what I thought. And you can find tickets there. You can also find the guidelines for the food drive, for what will help New Bethany and New Bethany's clients. The concert again is Friday, December 12th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, December 13th at 2 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church of Allentown. Nick, we'll be right back in a moment. We're going to head to our break. For now, you've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been speaking with the Lehigh Valley Chorale Artistic Director, Nick Shinkevich, about the chorale's joyous upcoming winter concert series entitled Crowded Table, coming to the First Presbyterian Church in Allentown. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you have vinyl albums, 45s, or CDs on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the donation, and you can claim a tax deduction. For more information, or to arrange for a drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle. Tonight, we've been talking about the Lehigh Valley Chorale, its upcoming holiday concerts, 10th anniversary, and more, with Nicholas Shinkevich, the conductor, music director, and artistic director of the chorale. So welcome back. You know, before we went to the break, we were talking a lot about Crowded Table, the holiday concert series, but it also is featuring the Johnson Memorial Musical Fellowship.
Yeah, exactly.
New program.
Yes, 100%. So the program is entitled the Max Johnson Musical Fellowship.
Okay.
And this is a program that was spearheaded and created after the loss of one of our chorus members in 2024, Max Johnson. Max was 18 years old and was a big member of our community and was a loving, kind, wonderful, hardworking individual that loved music. And at the end of 2024, along with the support of his family and our chorus, we launched a program called the Max Johnson Musical Fellowship, which provides a paid musical fellowship opportunity for young musicians between the ages of 18 and 25 to work with the Lehigh Valley Chorale and be compensated for it, take lessons with the artistic director and local musicians through three different tracks: conducting, voice, or education. So this fall, or winter, I guess we're in now, we're excited to welcome our first musical fellow, Rachel McIntosh, who is a senior at Lehigh University, who's on the voice track for this fellowship. So she will be singing a solo at the concert in Linda Kackelmeyer's Ovos Omnis, as well as singing with the chorale. So through this season, she has had the opportunity to have voice lessons with myself, but also local artists and voice teachers, as well as Natalie Weiss, a very famous both Broadway and off-Broadway vocalist in New York City. So it's a great program. Rachel's absolutely fantastic, and we're excited to feature her as our inaugural Max Johnson Musical Fellow this fall.
Oh, wonderful. Yet another reason to be at the concert this month. When we move beyond that, in fact, when we get into January in 2026 and we start the 10th anniversary year of the chorale, I understand you've got some special events, concerts, projects lined up in honor of and celebration of the anniversary.
100%. The 10th anniversary for us is about coming home and journeying from where we were and where we are to where we're going to be. And so the 10th anniversary concert is entitled The Road Home and will take place at Miller Symphony Hall in May of 2026. This is really exciting for the chorale. 10 years is a big thing, especially for an organization that was working and operating through the pandemic at such a young age. And so the fact that we're here was a wonderful and beautiful thing. Some exciting things that are going to be happening for that concert are a lot of firsts for the chorale, one of which is collaborating with another young organization called the Lehigh Valley Chamber Orchestra. Mm-hmm. This ensemble has been in the community, I believe, now for 4 years and is about a 40-piece chamber orchestra that is going to be working with LVC during our concert. So essentially half of our concert that you'll see will be choral orchestral, which is really exciting. So you'll have 175 singers on stage, a pianist, 40 people in the pit, all at Miller Symphony Hall. So if you want some sound, you're definitely gonna get it. One of the other really exciting things that we're doing is our first ever commissioned work. And so for a nonprofit arts organization is really exciting. A commission is a new piece that is written for an ensemble that has gone from a composer. And so for this year, we have commissioned composer and conductor of the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, Dominic DiOrio, to write a piece in honor of our founding artistic director, Ed Milicic. And so we are very excited to be able to bring Dominic here to write this piece for us, for the chorale to have our first commission. And as part of the 10th anniversary events, the Lehigh Valley Chorale also does a recording session, a professional recording session every year, in which we are going to record this piece, this commission, as well as performing it at our 10th anniversary concerts.
Oh, that's exciting. That's lovely. Mm-hmm. And the recording, are the recordings accessible to the public then later on?
Absolutely. We tend to post most of our recordings to places like YouTube. However, we do have a professional recording engineer, Gene Valonis, who we have actually one published recording on Spotify, Andre Thomas's Beautiful City. And we just did a professional recording project for composer Kurt Cacioppo on his album Numina, which just came out last week. So lots of exciting, cool things in many different ethers of the musical universe.
I was thinking, you know, listening to you when you were talking about your background with music and theater and the idea of taking the audience and the listener on a journey through a concert and through a session with the chorale. Can you talk a little bit about, for our radio listeners, the breadth of kind of composers and styles? It seems like, is it typical, it's new to me, is it typical for a group like the Lehigh Valley Chorale to have such a wide-ranging menu of styles and eras and music? It's really intense.
Yeah, it is intense. You know, that's a really great question. Something that's important to me as an artistic director is that everyone is represented in the music that we perform.
Okay.
And so that can mean a lot of different things. It can mean the identity of a composer. It can mean the style of the music. It can mean a connection to the piece from something they've sung before. I work with a great music selection committee that we design programs together. And so we'll come up with scaffolds and provide input from membership. And so these programs are not something that are necessarily uniquely crafted in my brain, but are something that is the result of a collaborative effort. And so, yeah, I think, you know, in terms of eclecticism, it's wide-ranging and maybe uncommon because I, as a conductor, also want to challenge myself and the singers in experiencing all these different sorts of things that they didn't know they could do. People often underestimate the difficulty of changing a vocal style from singing something like Brahms to singing something like Celine Dion. And so I think that it's important for people to experience the full breadth of that and for everyone to kind of have a seat at the table in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Do members of the chorale often comment on, I mean, I would think it'd be interesting if one joins and has one sense of one's, not limitations, but scale, like your abilities. I imagine it must be exhilarating to discover that you can stretch beyond that and you can tackle this and take it on and make it live on stage.
And this is the thing that I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, and I really mean it. I said that this program changes lives. I really mean that wholeheartedly. Because when you believe that you can sing, you believe that you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about it. The voice to me has always been the most personal instrument. It's not like you're holding a violin, no offense to any violin players, or playing a piano, when there's a physical representation of something that could go wrong. The strings are too tight, it's not tuned well, my elbow hurts. The voice is completely unique, and it's you. And so when you sing, it is a reflection of your own humanity. And so when somebody believes that they can sing and are told that they can sing and believe in themselves, it really does change their life. And so that's why I think this is so important, because this is something that not only manifests in the rehearsal room, but manifests in every other aspect of a person's life. And I've seen it over and over and over again.
It's interesting because it's also at the same time so intensely collaborative in the end, such an ensemble sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, the found family again.
You have to relinquish. There's a really famous quote that my undergraduate conductor, Dr. Kimberly Dunn Adams, used to say, and I apologize, I can't remember who she learned it from, but growth is the willingness to relinquish your proficiency. And that is what I currently, that is what I believe wholeheartedly, and that is what I believe growth actually comes from. And as I tell my singers, there's a difference between being uncomfortable and feeling safe. You can feel safe in the room and know that it is okay to make mistakes and to grow and to learn. Mm-hmm. And so there is a difference there. And so I want you to work through that discomfort. I want you to challenge yourself, because the only box that you exist in is the one you put yourself in.
Hmm. Given that as you move forward, it's interesting. I mean, we've talked a little bit about specific plans for, say, the 10th anniversary year, et cetera. But given that the chorale's 10 years old, you've been with it now a few years. I mean, at 175, we're booked out with a waiting list, but where would you want to see it go in the future? More community action, activity, more exploration of style and composers? Or like what keeps you coming back? What drew you to this position? What drew you to the Lehigh Valley Chorale?
Oh, that's such a funny story. I'll try to make it as brief as possible.
That's fine.
But essentially, I had graduated in 2022 from Indiana University, where I got my master's degree in choral conducting. And I had moved to New York City kind of unplanned. And long story short, my Midwest brain went, oh, it's only 60 miles away from New York City. I can get there in an hour. I should apply for this job. So I did. And long story short, actually, I wasn't invited to interview or to audition. I was invited to interview. But long story short, somebody canceled. They asked me to come in and do it, and the rest is history. I knew it was a home for me. I knew that I wanted this job, and I knew that I wanted to be with these people because they inspired me. The thing that keeps me coming back, and I drive an hour and a half to 2 hours one way every week to get there, is because of the fact that these people are different. They inspire me in a new way. They are the best version of themselves when they come into this room, and it is really, really beautiful to see. The reason I see us going, and the reason I see us moving in a direction that is exciting, is that I think that they are truly the pinnacle of what a non-auditioned ensemble can be in every way. And they are also the pinnacle of what a active community organization can be. And I can't wait to see what that continues to do. I mean, what other non-audition choir is doing professional recording sessions and putting them onto Spotify? What other non-audition choir is having these large concerts and collaborations at Miller Symphony Hall and hiring out another community orchestra to benefit another nonprofit? This ensemble has performed at Carnegie Hall 3 times. Like, they're nominated as a finalist for the American Prize. When people believe in themselves, they can absolutely do anything. And that's what excites me about it, because when there's no cap on potential, you can go anywhere.
That's exhilarating. I see a documentary in the works here. Now, no, it's interesting because when we started the interview, it is true that I wanted to focus on the chorale here on the program because of what I kept hearing about it in the community. The kind of energy and the passion and people's excitement about it was really palpable. So congratulations to all of you for that. But their sense of possibility has clearly been opened and, you know, just released.
Yes. And I hope that we have the opportunity, you know, in some way, shape or form to continue to open this up to more people. Right. For those, if you're listening, that are on the wait list, we are trying to figure out ways that we can expand this organization in meaningful ways in order for everybody to be able to participate and contribute. And I'm just so excited to see so much interest and enthusiasm surrounding this group.
Well, again, for our listeners, it's www.lvchorale.org. Social media, of course, which you'll be treated to music, interviews, and much more on the social media. And again, The Crowded Table Holiday Concert Series is coming up on December 12th at 7:30, December 13th at 2 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church of Allentown. And Nick, thank you. Nick Shinkevich, the Artistic Director of Lehigh Valley Chorale, it's been a joy to speak with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you for the good work that you and the chorale are doing. And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining me here again in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. You can find past episodes of the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon and our other public affairs programming at WDIY.org, on the DIY phone app, or on major podcast platforms. Again, I'm Kate Scuffle, your host, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. And I look forward to joining you again right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.